Amen. All right. Take your Bibles. Go back to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. And a familiar story in the Bible, but perhaps we don't think about it this way. And as I'm going to preach, we do talk about it often and talk about the story of Joseph. And of course, Joseph is charged unjustly. He ends up in prison. In reality, he was doing right and shouldn't have gone to prison, but obviously God had a better plan. Of course, all of Joseph, as what the Bible talks about, we see Joseph just following the Lord, letting God lead, and God blessing him in a great way, even though it seems like he's getting stabbed in the back and he's getting the bad end all the time and everything. But God has a plan, and God works it all out. But within this story is another story that I want to tell, and that's the story about the butler here. And this butler is in prison with Joseph. Joseph goes first, and then later on, the butler, the Bible says the butler of the king of Egypt and the baker, they both offend. Somehow they offend Pharaoh. They make him mad. The Bible says he's wroth, and he puts him in jail. So now the butler and the baker are in jail with Joseph. The Bible says they're in ward, and they're in the place where Joseph was bound. And Joseph is kind of put in charge of them. By the way, everywhere Joseph goes, he earns the trust of people because he's a hard worker. He's a good guy. He loves God. God blesses him. God will bless you too. Amen. I mean, God is in control of everything, and you need to just do right, and I need to do right. And, you know, even in a tough economy, I watch God's people. You know, God just kind of miraculously takes care of them. But again, if you're not a hard worker, and if you don't want to be serious about the things of God, obviously, you know, I'm not sure God would necessarily have a place for you, but as he did Joseph here. But Joseph just keeps doing right. Joseph meets the butler and the baker, and they are, of course, they're supposed to be in prison. They've obviously done something wrong. Joseph is unjustly in prison. We don't see Joseph gripe. We don't hear him complaining. We don't hear him, you know, say, well, it's just not fair, and I'm not here, you know, because of anything I did, and you guys are guilty. And, you know, we just see him doing right. Amen. And I like that. I always like this story about Joseph. But this butler and baker, they then have a dream, and they have a dream that bothers them so much that because of that dream, they are sad. And that's where our story kind of picks up, and that's what I want to talk to you about. But mainly, I want to talk to you about the fact that Joseph helps him, and helps, well, obviously, the baker. It doesn't work out good for him. Joseph does tell him what his dream was about, and it was about the fact that he was going to die, that the Pharaoh was going to actually have him executed. But the butler, Joseph tells him that his dream is about the fact that he's going to be restored to his butlership, and he is going to go back to work for Pharaoh, and that God was going to bless him. But the thing I call your attention to is verse 14. He says, "Think on me when it shall be well with thee." In other words, you're getting out of here. You're gonna be able to go home. You're gonna be able to go back to work. God has favored you, and you're gonna be able to go back to Pharaoh and work for him. And by the way, to be the butler would be a very trusted position. It would be a very important position, as we studied the book of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah held that position. And so you know what? You're gonna be in good shape. You're gonna be back doing the work that you were doing. Pharaoh is going to have all confidence in you. And he says this, he says, "When it shall be well with thee," he says, "Think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." And then verse 23, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." He forgot all about him. He forgot. I mean, it is hard to imagine. He said, well, he just got busy and went back to work. Yeah, but he forgot him. He forgot him. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Don't forget to say thanks. Father, I pray you bless the preaching, that you'll speak to our hearts. Give us what we need, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. It's an amazing thing, and you read that very clear in Scripture, that the butler had an obligation. He had certainly an opportunity to help out someone who helped him. He had an opportunity to be a blessing to one who had been a blessing to him. It's interesting as you read the scripture that when the butler and the baker are put in jail, obviously they are concerned for their lives, and certainly the baker ended up being executed for whatever he had done. Perhaps he was accused of trying to poison Pharaoh or something like that, and that happened all the time back in those days. But for whatever reason, they both had very, very much concern as to what was going to happen. And they obviously are very anxious about things and very concerned about things. And that night they had this dream, and both of them had a dream. When they woke up in the morning, they were very sad. It was obvious to Joseph that they were sad. And Joseph, and here's the thing, again, that stands out to me about Joseph is he didn't care that he himself was sad. Joseph didn't even deserve to be in prison. He had been accused. He had done right. He was accused of doing wrong. He hadn't done wrong. I mean, he's in prison, and he shouldn't be in prison. These guys, he didn't know if they should or shouldn't. Obviously, the baker, it would appear, should have been in prison because he was then executed. But I'm just saying, Joseph wasn't whining. Joseph wasn't griping. Joseph wasn't saying, hey, I'm not getting a good deal out of this. This isn't fair. He was looking at them, and he saw that they were sad, and he said, hey, listen, how can I help you? How can I be a blessing to you? I mean, he's going through a tough time. It's hard on him. He's not happy being in prison. He doesn't even deserve to be in prison. And he says, how can I help you? So he forgets himself and he helps them. I like that. If we had more of that going on, by the way, that is what charity, or the word we use, love, that is what that means. It is to forget ourselves and help someone else. It is to say, okay, I've got my own problems, I've got needs as well, but I'm going to help somebody else because I can help them. Joseph recognized that he could help. Joseph recognized that he could be a blessing. Hey, you know what? One of the greatest ways to say thanks is to be a blessing to somebody. One of the greatest things in the world you can do in saying thank you is to help somebody else. Have you ever been helped? Joseph forgets himself to help them out. And then he gives one request. And I think it just really is amazing. He says to the butler, he says, listen, he says, you're about to be freed from prison. You're going to be back at work. You're going to be close to Pharaoh. And by the way, the butler would be very, very close to Pharaoh. Joseph is just saying, hey, could you put in a good word for me? I would imagine the butler probably said something like this. Man, he said, I'm so glad you told me that. Wow, I'm so excited about that. How can I help you? Boy, I just cannot thank you enough. You ever heard anybody say that? They say, I cannot thank you enough, and then they don't. You know, in my mind, I imagine the butler just rejoicing. Wow, I get to go home. Wow, I get to go back to work. I get to be back in my position, trusted by Pharaoh. And you know, Joseph, how can I thank you? And Joseph, hey, just one thing. If you just do one thing, you're going to be right next to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's going to be eating. You're going to be right there. Could you tell him about me? Would you mind telling him about me? Would you mind just saying a good word about me to Pharaoh so that I, he says, and bring me out of this house? And the Bible says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Wow. Can you imagine when the interpretation came true? And sure enough, here came the guards. And of course, it would be a sad time because the baker was executed. But the butler is taken out of the prison. Maybe Joseph said, hey, don't forget. Maybe the butler looked back and said, thank you. And Joseph said, don't forget now. Don't forget. You're going to be right next to Pharaoh. Don't forget. And well, I'll tell you made my day. You sure have made me excited. And now Joseph, he watches that butler go off and the butler goes back to his position and he's going to be right next to Pharaoh. And in Joseph's mind, he has to be thinking, wow, I mean, this is great. I'm going to get out of here soon. But the butler forgot him. He forgot all about him. I can imagine Joseph was excited and hey, listen, God, you've taken care of me, and now you've put somebody here who will be right next to Pharaoh, somebody that maybe could get me out of here, and wow, this is wonderful. But first day went by. Second day went by. In my mind, I imagine every time the keys rattled in the lock, Joseph thought, this is it. In my mind, I imagine every time the guards came in and there was news of any kind, Joseph thought, hey, I guarantee this, but the butler talked to Pharaoh. But days went by. Nothing. You know why? Because the butler forgot. The butler simply forgot Joseph. Maybe it's because of his position. Maybe it's because, you know, he was just so busy getting back with Pharaoh. Maybe really he just plain old forgot. I don't know. I can only speculate. He simply forgot. And that brings me to the idea here of thanks. Thanks doesn't come naturally. You know what? Now, I'm preaching to church folks, and certainly it would seem that church folks would have this down, but the truth of the matter is, it doesn't come naturally to even us. It does not come naturally. I hear adults many times, why are my teenagers, why don't they thank me for things, and why aren't they thankful for what I've done, and why? Because it doesn't come natural. It doesn't come natural to children. It doesn't come natural to teenagers. It doesn't come natural to adults. It does not come natural to human beings. That's why God had to tell us, in everything give thanks. Oh, we might be like the butler, and as soon as something good happens, we might be, oh, you know, what can I do? How can I thank you? What can I do? But by and by, we forget. By and by, we're just like the butler. We just forget. And that's why God had to tell us, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. If you're ever looking for the will of God in your life, and you know, we always look at that as such a mystery. How can I know God's will for my life? Clearly, there is one verse that it spells it out. Absolutely no question about it. You cannot misinterpret it. It is impossible. And that is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God in our lives, that we give thanks in everything. It is commanded. It is said, this is the will of God, and therefore we've got to obey it. But we forget it, just like the butler. We can be so excited about something one day and totally forget it the next, just like the butler. Because thanks doesn't come naturally. Griping does. Right? Crying does. Whining does. Rolling the eyes does. Those things, those are what are natural for you and I. But saying thank you? Isn't that why parents have to teach their children? Did you know you never had to give your child lessons in griping? Never. All you had to do is put broccoli in front of them when they were little. Or spinach, or asparagus. Some of you are saying, wow, you're making me hungry. It's making me tired. But you know, isn't it amazing? You have to teach. So you put Brussels sprouts in front of them, and they go, ow, yuck! You know? But you put a hot fudge sundae in front of them, and they... Now, you didn't have to teach them how to say, oh, yuck! That just pretty much came. But isn't it amazing when you put that hot fudge sundae in front of them, you had to say, now what do you say? This is good! No, what do you say? Yum, yum! No, what do you say? Can I have more? No, what do you say? Thank you. Isn't that how we are? You say, yeah, that's the kids. No, that's adults too. It is how we are. We are so quick to complain, but we're so slow to say thank you. We are so quick to, you know, it's amazing when it comes to whining and griping and crying and rebelling and all those things, we can be so loud. But when it comes to saying thank you, you know, I'm thinking of a girl. I'm not thinking of a particular one. Why can't I get a girl's name? Poindexter, Poindexter Et. Gertie? That's pretty good. Every now and then we hit somebody's relative, and you know, but I'm just throwing out names. But anyway, that's bad, isn't it? I don't want to say it now. It's you know how easy it is. We'll gripe, we'll complain, we'll get all bent out of shape. We'll be very vocal about it. We'll be very loud, and then when somebody does something nice, it's something we appreciate. That same person who was so loud in griping and complaining, and so boisterous in rebelling. How about a little kid that kicks and screams and hollers, and but then you do something nice for them, and you say thank you, and they say, I'm still thinking of a girl's name. Say thank you. I'm talking about the same one that screamed and hollered and yelled and threw a fit and a temper tantrum and laid down on the floor and kicked their feet and hollered and screamed and, right. Say thank you. You know what I'm talking about? We're the same way. They learn it from us. It just is, it doesn't come natural. And it takes years and years of teaching to get us to say thank you. It takes years of teaching to get us to write thank you notes. Huh? How many, don't raise your hand, all right, because your kid is sitting here. But somebody did something for your child, and maybe they graduated, and they said, well, that's like pulling teeth, right? Did you write your thank you cards for the graduation gifts? Right? Yeah, you remember, don't you? Huh? You like the gift. Remember? Yeah. Hey, parents will, they'll get the cards, they'll address the envelope. All you have to do is just write a little note in there thanking them. Right? Can't we just get them printed up? But you like the gift, don't you? We're a pain when it comes to gratitude. We really are. It is a constant, constant battle. Pouting, that's natural. Griping, that's natural. Society today is spoiled rotten. You know, I hear people even now, welfare cheated me. And I always pause and I think, isn't that the day we live in? You know, there is just a very, very big lack of thankfulness. And it has to be taught. It has to be drilled in. But you know, it's true with every one of us. Many times we're like this butler. You see, obviously, this act of kindness didn't make enough of an impression on the butler that he'd remember him. Now that amazes me, really. At the time, wow, this is great. You know, it's like a child. At the time you got that gift, wow, this is great. 2 days later when your mom says, send them a note of thanks, it's like, I don't have time, I'm playing with my gift. That's how we are. Just didn't make enough of an impression on the butler. But we're just like the butler. Look at chapter 41 and verse 9. I'm still in the introduction, by the way. Chapter 41 and verse 9. 2 years later, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. 2 years later, he remembers. Isn't that something? 2 years later, and notice what he calls it, and this is so important, I do remember my faults this day. I wronged Joseph. Joseph forgot himself, forgot his own pain, his own sorrow. Joseph put aside what he might have wanted and put aside his own desire, and he helped me. And I owed him something. I owed him a word of gratitude, a deed of gratitude. I owed that to Joseph. But he said, I forgot that, and it is my fault that I did not remember Joseph and show him my thankfulness. Don't forget to say thanks, folks. Not just, we think about, you know what's amazing? A lot of people don't even think about Thanksgiving at Thanksgiving. They think about eating, football, day off, hunting, shopping the next day. Got to go to bed early. And they don't really think about being thankful. Don't even think about all the people that have done something. Let me show you something. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 15. Real quick, Ecclesiastes 9, 15. Now, I know the points haven't come yet, but they're not real long points, so don't get nervous. Besides, any time a message is short, you're not thankful.
It's because they never are.
Ecclesiastes 9, verse 15. I don't know, you know, that's amazing because, you know, preaching is kind of like a meal. And isn't it amazing how when grandma fixes that huge meal, it's like a banquet. There's fried chicken, glory to God, and there's mashed potatoes, chicken gravy, amen, biscuits. I'm talking about real biscuits, you know, some kind of vegetable to make it all the colors that you're supposed to have. And, you know, chocolate pie. And I mean, it's huge and everything. And we're thrilled to death. Woo-hoo! Let's say grandma just throws down there a piece of cold toast. Be a lot shorter. Thank you. Thanks for laughing. I appreciated that. But anyway, you're about the only one that got it. I have no idea where we are. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 15. It says, now there was found in it, verse 14, let's go back there. There was a little city and few men within it. There came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Isn't that something? That's how we are. And that's exactly how the butler was. And that's exactly how there are right sitting here right now. There's folks that have done something for you. They've forgotten themselves. They've been a blessing. And you have not even said thanks. Don't forget to say thanks. Number one, thanks to your family. Thanks to your family. Bible says, honor thy father and mother. Honor them. Bring honor to them. Talked about this in my Sunday school class. And how, though both of my parents are in heaven, before they went to heaven, I believe that I honored them. I believe that I thanked them and thanked them with my life. I did what they helped teach me to do. And I lived the kind of life that brought honor to them. And I mentioned in Sunday school how that it was such a blessing. Of course, my mom, I had been her pastor quite a while. And we sang together and did a lot of things in church together after she got saved. But I remember the day very, very clearly when my father said to one of his buddies, hey, my son is my pastor. And that was such a blessing to me. And it let me know that, you know, Dad was proud of his son, even though it was a life that Dad himself did not know. He hadn't been saved very long. Dad got saved, and not many years after that, he died and went to heaven. But it was wonderful to know that, hey, my dad was pleased with my life. There is no better way for you to say thank you to a mom and a dad than to turn out right. And to do right as you go along the way. That's a great way to say thank you to mom and dad. Now, you ought to say thanks. And you ought to say thanks for all the things that they do. And every child that is in our Christian school, there ought to be time after time. You say to mom and dad, thank you for putting me in a Christian school. And everyone who is here on our church, hey, if you rode a bus today, when is the last time you thanked a bus driver for driving that bus? When is the last time you thanked a bus captain for arranging it so that you could ride on a bus? When is the last time you thanked a Sunday school teacher for teaching you the blessed Word of God? When is the last time that you thanked your father and your mother for what they've done and the sacrifices they made? You see, they, just like Joseph, do things for us. And they wait and they're excited to see how things are going to turn out. And along the way, it'd be nice for them to see you really are thankful. It'd be nice for them along the way to see you bring honor to them by doing what they've taught you to do, by doing right. It's the best way to say thank you. It's the best way. I still can remember when I was little, and I don't remember a lot about when I was little because that was a long time ago. But I remember my mom, when I'd get in trouble at school or something like that, and she'd have to go in to see the principal or see the teacher or something. I remember mom used to say something like this. She'd say, "Is this the thanks I get?" You know, I never understood that as a kid. That didn't mean a whole lot to me as a child, but I understand it now, and I understood it as I got older. What does she say? She said, "Hey, wait a minute. Well, wait a minute. I went through 9 months of pregnancy, and I went through pain, and I went through sorrow, and I heard, and I brought you into this world, and literally went through the jaws of death for you to come here. Is this the thanks I get? Is this the thanks I get for putting a cold cloth on your head when you had a high fever as a little child? Is this the thanks I get when you throw up? I would clean it all up for you and I'd make sure you were feeling better. Hey, is this the thanks I get for late nights and early mornings and all the sacrifice? Is this the thanks I get that you're just going to be in trouble all the time? Is this the thanks I get? Thanks to your family. Don't forget. Don't forget." You know, it is amazing how the butler forgot Joseph. But I've got something better than that. How many have forgotten your mom? How many have forgotten your dad? The hours that he works, the sacrifice he makes. All of those things, you know, a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food in your belly. And you forget about those things. You forget. Just like the butler. You know, one of the biggest problems we have is we have a mentality today, well, my parents owe me that. That's right out of hell. That's not out of God's word. Well, my parents owe me that. Or how's this sound? My country owes me that. Well, they owe me this. My state, it owes me that. It all goes together, doesn't it? Thanks to your family. When is the last time you thanked your dad for working all the hours that he works? Well, isn't he supposed to? You know, you're a sorry turkey buzzard. Period. And being anything to do with a turkey this time of year is scary. The way the economy is, we may have to be eating buzzards before long. And they are nasty. You say, well, my parents aren't living like they're supposed to. There's something they have done. You owe it to them to do right. You say, well, my dad's in trouble. Okay, you owe it to him to be out of trouble. I don't know of any parent that is glad when their children are in trouble. I don't know of any situation like that, to be honest with you. I mean, here you sit, you're in church, you're in a good church. However you got here, doesn't matter. You should be thankful. There's a parent, there's somebody in your family you need to be thankful for. Don't be like the butler. I say this often, and I do not say it. I'm not trying to get emotional decisions, but folks, honestly, I stand at the end of caskets too many times. I bring a funeral message. Often I sing or maybe write a poem or something like that. I bring the message, I give an invitation, and then I always step down, and many times it's right here in church, and the casket's right there, and I stand right at the head of that casket, and I watch people as they come down. And I don't know how many times I hear words of sorrow and regret. And that always breaks my heart. I've watched people reach down in that casket, grab hold of somebody, and just sob and say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." But the thing I hear every funeral, I don't care what it is, I hear someone say, "Thank you." And then I stop and I wonder, is that the first time they've heard or they've said it? Because that person can't hear them. Sometimes you can tell it's strange to them. "Thank you." And I stop and I think, I wonder if they ever told him that while they were alive. I wonder if they ever showed him. Or were they like the butler? You know? When I read this, I thought through, let's say, and I understand God's will and all of that, but let's say the butler died the day before Pharaoh needed to hear from him. He never would have been able to show Joseph his thanks. What if Joseph would have died? He never would have been able to receive the thanks. And I'm just saying, you know what? Don't forget to say thanks. Don't forget. You know, don't forget to tell your parents, thank you. Don't forget to tell a mom or a dad. You know, I think about a single parent that, some of you kids, you don't understand. You think you got it all figured out. Well, I don't know who they think. I'll tell you who they think. They're trying to help you. That's who they think they are. They're trying to give you a home. They're trying to put food in your belly. They're doing everything they can. They sacrifice. You owe it to them, number one, to tell them thank you. Number two, to do right. And that's the best way to show them. Don't be like the butler. I don't know what happened to the butler. How do you forget? Yeah, he did. By the way, parents, wouldn't be a bad idea for you to thank your kids when they do right. I mentioned this in Sunday school, how years ago in our Christian schools, I started the merit program as a positive thing and a positive way for us to say, hey, you've done right and we're proud of you. Thank you. I've out of my own pocket, and I figured this up not too long ago, spend $300 to $400 every year on a merit meal. So that we can just say thank you to some kids for doing right. You know, we hear about the demerits. Oh, do we ever hear about the demerits? We hear the negative things, but, hey, mom and dad, your kids hear that too because they need to. But they do some things right.
You don't know Poindexter, I'll tell you.
I do know Poindexter. I really do. And, you know, there are some positive things about him. Really? Well, you may say that about Poindexter. What about Throckmorton? Yeah, Throckmorton's got some positive things too. Certainly not his name. But there are some. Hey, how about when they bring you honor? Well, they embarrass me most of the time. Yeah, but how about, oh, you tell them about it when they embarrass you, but when's the last time you thanked them for doing something right? You know, hey, if Wilda Smear can only, where in the world did that come from? If they can only get C's and they're not straight A kids, get off of them about straight A's and be glad that they did their best. Hey, did you do your best? That's what I ask kids all the time. Pastor, you know, because I'll say, can I see your report card? And they'll say, well, it's not very good. I said, let me see it. And I'll look at it, and sure enough, you know, there's some things on there that maybe aren't as good as what I said, you know, and I always say, did you do your best? Well, in that class I did, and in that class, well, praise God. Good job. Good job. When's the last? Thank you for doing your best. Thank you for putting forth the effort. You know, it is amazing how we are, you know, we're like that, but we get mad when they're like that. When they bring you honor, thank them. Be thankful. Sometimes, you know, and husbands and wives, you know, thank each other for things. Huh?
Bless God, that's her job.
You're an idiot. I know I shouldn't use words like that on Sunday morning. We'll just say that you're unintelligent. How's that? Yeah, that's better. Let's erase that part of the tape and put in there unintelligent. Because honestly, what are you talking about? I mean, it's not her job. It is whatever she's done. If it's a good thing for you, thank her. Be a good person. Don't be like the butler. You know, some guys, it's like, well, you know, I just expect this and I expect, yeah, I know you do. Thank her. Thank her. Wow, you fixed my favorite meal.
Bless God, she's supposed to.
Yeah. Someday, you know what she ought to do? She ought to fix it and dump it on your head.
Oh.
I'm going to hear about this because somebody's going to do it. Yeah, my husband likes spaghetti. Thank you, preacher. Don't send me the bill for the cleaning. You know what? Our problem is we expect too much and we take too much for granted. You know, seriously, ma'am, when is the last time you thanked your husband for working? Seriously. Boy. It's quiet, isn't it? Yeah. I'm moving right along here. But you know, a lot of husbands here are just like the butler. A lot of wives are just like the butler. We just aren't thankful. We aren't thankful. I watch when they're up here standing, they're looking in each other's eyes. You know, it's like, oh yeah, she's the greatest thing in the world. Oh, he's so wonderful. And they don't care about anything else. I mean, it doesn't matter. We've got all these people out here and everything, and they just look at each other and they don't care. Why does that have to change? Why in the world does that change? You know why? It's because you expect it. Remember when he gave you the ring, you know, and no one could hardly see it? It's all right. Things are tough. But you were so excited. You know? Hello? Right? And thank you so much! Right? And now it's like, you're cheap. Yeah. Thanks to your family. Don't forget to say thanks to your family. Number two, don't forget to say thanks to your friends. Don't forget to say thanks to your friends. I'm talking about friends. Do you understand? You ever thanked a friend for friendship? Do you realize what a pain you've been to your friends? I'm talking about people you call all the time and bug. I'm talking about people that you're just totally a headache. I'm talking about, you know, but they're your friends. When's the last time you thanked them? Hello? You know, I mean, you've hounded them for money. You've hounded them for this. You bothered them about that. You've called them at 2:00 in the morning. All kinds of, I mean, when is the last time you thanked them for that? It's wonderful to have friends. You know what? My best friend that I've ever had is in heaven. He died nearly 20 years ago. Boy, and what a friend, and what a wonderful thing, and we had a great friendship. I'm talking about my best friend other than Jesus and, of course, my wife. But, you know, look at Job 19, verse 14. We're really close to it. You may be discouraged, but you shouldn't be. Job 19. We've had the mashed potatoes. We've had the gravy. We've eaten our first amount of turkey. We've passed by the vegetables. We're moving into the chocolate pie. Amen. And then the second serving of turkey. Job 19, verse 14. Notice what Job said. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends, what did he say? Have forgotten me. That's after Job was broke. That's after Job lost his family. That's after Job has gone through all the hardship. He doesn't have all his property and his money. And that's when Job is sitting in an ash heap because he's lost everything. And he says, my familiar friends have forgotten me. Are you that kind of a friend? Somebody has been a friend to you, but you've not remembered them. Somebody has been faithful to you, but you've forgotten them. It's amazing. Some folks never say thank you for anything. And maybe somebody is waiting and they're just kind of waiting on maybe you would be appreciative of what they've done for you. I want to remind you of Jesus with the 10 lepers. And he healed all 10 of them, but only one came back and said thank you. And we read that and think, how could they be like that? And yet folks have done things for you and you've never one time thanked them. Never one time. I think of Brother Clark and Brother Ed back there. They were talking this morning about being maybe the only two World War II veterans here in this building. And you know, for so many, it's like, so? What do you mean, so? Thank God for World War II veterans. But you know, well, they're, and I got news for you, it's not just World War II veterans. How about Berean Baptist Church veterans? That's why we have this building here, because of Berean Baptist Church veterans. You see gray-headed folks around here. You know what? You ought to thank them. As you enjoy the heat, the air conditioning, the padded pews, the carpeting, as you enjoy the blessings of this building, you see somebody that's been here a while, you thank them. I get upset. People gripe and complain about building and about this and that. And they're sitting in my seat. They're parking in my spot. Somebody sacrificed. Somebody gave. Somebody did something pretty heroic so you could have that. I'll never forget. I tell the story about the modular building in Bern, Indiana, that we were able to get. And we moved it to our property for more Sunday school room. And it wasn't a nice building, but we were trying to make it a nice building. And I remember as we were moving that modular, and I won't get into the whole story, but the modular fell. And myself, my administrator, and one of my deacons were under that modular. To this day, I have no idea how we got out of there. I do not have any idea. They say that side of that modular probably weighed about 20 tons. And I don't know how we got out. I just know that it fell. I saw it coming down. I was under it. And then I wasn't. And to this day, it bothers me as I think about that. But I'll never forget. We went ahead and put that thing together and did the very best we could. And the first school year that we used it, I heard some kids complaining about that modular. And you can imagine what chapel was about that day. But you know what? It's anything. It's anything. It's the sacrifices people make. It's the things that they've done to help you. It's a friend who was with you at 2 o'clock in the morning helping you. And how do you say thanks? Well, I forgot about it. It's a Sunday school teacher. It's a bus driver. It's a nursery worker who changed your nasty diapers. Yeah, thanks to your friends. And then don't forget to say thanks, of course, to the most important one. Don't forget to say thanks to our Father. Perhaps He is the most forgotten. In Romans 1:21, leading up to all kinds of sin, it says, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. And that is the passage about the depravity of man. Neither were they thankful. And it led to all kinds of sin, all kinds of sexual sins, all kinds of wickedness of mankind. And it all started with neither were they thankful. And our world is as it is today because they weren't thankful. Neither were they thankful. The depravity of man. Psalm 107. Four times in Psalm 107 it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. You'll hear me say often, hey, why aren't we praising God? What's wrong with you? Why don't you praise God? We need to praise God. Hey, when you sing, why don't you praise God? Why don't you smile? Why don't you rejoice? You know what? Hey, we've got a lot to be thankful for today. And yet we still look out. Brother Barry had the privilege of looking out today and watching folks sing songs that are praise, and they just kind of look bored to tears. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Kind of like it's your birthday, and we all gather around, we say, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. How are you going to feel? We come to church, we have an opportunity to praise the Lord. Hey, you have an opportunity anytime. Well, I do all my singing in the shower. And you know what? I'm sure God appreciates that. Sure, that matters to God to some extent, and probably because you feel like your voice isn't good. My Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Joyful noise. That's why we let Kelvin sing. You know, honestly, the butler forgot Joseph, but he didn't forget Joseph as bad as we've forgotten our Father. Not even close. Psalm 106, verse 13, winding down here. You say, well, I'm thankful for that. Well, I'm glad we've got you in the right mood. Psalm 106 and verse 13. Talking about Israel, God's people. God had been so good. God had blessed them. God had taken care of them. God had delivered them from Egypt. All these things that God has done. Psalm 106 and verse 13, the Bible says, they soon forget His works. They waited not for His counsel. They forgot all the things God did. He parted the Red Sea. He brought them out of slavery. God took care of them. But it wasn't long and they forgot what He did. Verse 21, it says they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. They forgot Him. By the way, when you forget Him, it isn't long and you're doing terrible things. That's what Psalm 106 is all about. They forgot Him. After all that God did, they soon forgot Him. The question is asked as God's people are in the wilderness and they say, why came we forth out of Egypt? Do you know why? I mean, just the very question. Why did I leave Egypt? Well, you were a slave. Taskmasters were whipping you to get to do the work. You weren't getting paid. Yeah, but why'd we leave Egypt? The garlics, the leeks, and the melons, and you despised it. It would be like some Christian saying, why did I get saved in the first place? You say, well, preacher, I would never ask that question. No, but you live that question. Because you've totally forgotten how excited you were when you got saved. You've totally forgotten how thankful you were when God saved you. Man, I will not forget. I talk about it. I've had people say, you give your testimony all the time. You know why? I don't want to forget. That's why I give my testimony a lot. I don't ever want to forget. I want to remember. I want it to be a constant reminder. Why do you suppose Jesus has us observe the Lord's Supper? He said, why do we do it? This do in remembrance of me. So you don't forget the body, the blood. We don't forget. We don't forget what He's done. Why? So that we'll thank Him. So that we will constantly thank Him. Psalm 92, verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and praises unto Thy name, O Most High. All that He's done for us. He's saved us. He's given us a place to serve. He's given us our church. He's given us Christian friends. He meets our needs. The Bible says, He who daily loadeth us with benefits. Psalm 68, 19. Psalm 103, 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. We'll take a job and say, well, I got some good benefits. I'm telling you, God gives us great benefits. Don't you enjoy breathing? I've gotten used to it. You know, don't you enjoy your heart beating? You've probably gotten used to that too. If you're not, you know, if it stops, you'll wish that it was beating. Really, it's very inconvenient not to beat. It's very inconvenient not to breathe. And God gives us all that. I was thinking about that the other day. Oxygen, you know. What is it? We keep the plants alive and they keep us alive. Amen. They give off oxygen. We give off what they need. You know, what is it? Carbon dioxide, carbon something or other, ide. And go hug a tree this afternoon. Amen. But God gives us all these things. God takes care of you and you're alive. Check it out. Yep, still am. Isn't that good? And when's the last time though you went to bed at night and said, thank you, Lord? How about you get up in the morning? Thanks God for the sun coming up. Amen. Isn't that something? But we're like the butler and we forget. And that's why again, you have a job today. You say, I lost my job. You have one. All right. You don't look like you're starving. I don't see anybody in here who looks like they're starving. Huh? I got a little bit I could live off of. Amen. Health. And when's the last time you go to the doctor and all we're looking for is negative instead of walking out saying, hallelujah. Doctor says, other than being a little overweight, I'm doing pretty well. Doctors always say you're overweight. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. See, it's easy to give thanks when things are good, but God's will is that we give thanks in everything. Amen. Amen. I believe God often is kind of like Joseph was. He's just waiting to hear somebody thank him. He's just waiting to hear you say thanks. Waiting. Oh, you know, for some, it'll be the only time during a meal they thank God for the food. That'll be Thursday. It'll be so quick because you got the TV remote on mute. Somebody just asked their dad, how does he know? Yeah. You know, it ought to be all the time. God, you're so good to us. Thank God I'm an American. Read what's going on in other countries. You know, you say, oh, America, it's going down. But our down is up compared to most people. Oh, the economy. Yeah, there's some folks that are starving. I'm just saying, let's not be like the butler. Amen. Let's remember and stop and count our blessings that God has done. And don't forget to say thanks. Thanks to your family. Thanks to your friends. Thanks to your Father. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. No one's talking, please. In just a minute, we'll give an invitation. But first of all, I just wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I'm not even saved. If I were to die right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven or not. I am not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me. I do not know if I'm saved. Pray for me. Anyone like that, you'd say, pray for me. I am not sure I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Anyone like that, pray for me. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, I'm already saved, but there's something God's speaking to me about right now. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Raise your hand all over. God bless you. That's wonderful. Thank you. Father, bless the invitation. I pray that your will be done in our lives, and help us, God, not to forget you, not to forget our friends, not to forget our loved ones. Please change us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Turn in your hymnals to 306, 306. Have thine own way. If God's speaking to your heart and there's something you need to pray about, some decision you need to make, you come as we sing. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play. If you have a decision to make, you come right now, something God's spoken to your heart about. Maybe in your mind you've thought of a person. You just haven't been thankful. Maybe you stopped, you thought about God. Why, I used to be so excited, I used to be so thrilled, I thank God every day that He saved me. Well, it's time to thank Him. Best way to thank Him is with our life. Best way to thank your friend is certainly to tell him, but also to show him. God's speaking to your heart. You have a decision to make. Come on. Come on. Any others need to come? The invitation's still open. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Folks are still praying. If you have a decision to make, you still can do that.
All right, and look up this way. We have two coming today for baptism. So you may be seated. We will sing till pastors in the baptistry. Take your psalm books, turn to song number 439, Count Your Blessings, number 439. We will sing till pastor's ready. On the first verse. When page 292, His Way with Thee. On the first verse.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have a bear in mind and scary all alone? Let Him have His way.
Cynthia Gibbons. Cynthia, have you trusted Jesus as Savior?
Yes, I have.
In obedience to our Lord's command, upon your profession of faith in Christ as your Savior, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Kenneth Jackson. Kenneth, have you trusted Jesus as Savior?
Yes, I have.
In obedience to our Lord's command and upon your profession of faith in Christ as your Savior, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Amen. Don't forget all the activities, of course, with the cantata, different practices. Everybody should know where you're supposed to be. Then 5 o'clock, our prayer times, our teens, choirs, different children's groups and all that. Church service tonight at 6, and we'll be looking forward to that. Brother Barry, would you come close in prayer, please?
And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you that you're a God that loves us, and you're a God that gives us the opportunity to serve you. And for all you've done for us, Lord, I do thank you. I pray you'll be with us this afternoon. Bring us back the appointed time tonight. Give us safety as we travel. We ask these things in your name.